Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. I welcome Germanicus, Mark of Lejos. We're in Londinium. It's 91 AD, late summer. We're surrounded by centurions and their families, retired centurions with great stories, bustling about the market. The days are shorter here in Londinium now, but very happy. We're going to go to the theater next. Right now we're discussing events of the 21st century. Our century, the first century AD, is fixed. We're nearing the end of it. We have an emperor who is not adequate for the Senate, and that's always tension. Our idea of entertainment, however, is to look at the emperor for the inheritor of the Roman Empire. That would be the American Empire. And in the year 2024, there is a surprising contrast, one that we've been through in our century, which is the rise of the empire replacing the republic. And as you recall from your Roman history, that involved not only Julius Caesar and his death and the battle between Octavian, the inheritor of Caesar's mantle, an adopted son, and Mark Antony, Caesar's lieutenant general for his campaigns, but also the significant presence of a very powerful woman, Cleopatra, in Alexandria, and Cleopatra's presence in both the drama with Caesar and the drama with Mark Antony has reverberated through the first century AD, and a number of women in the Julian-Claudian family have been successful at wielding power. However, now the American Empire must confront this same contrast. It's not only two parties facing each other, it's a man and a woman facing each other. And Harris, in the last week, faced the cameras as Cleopatra of the 21st century and did very well in my measure. She made no major mistakes. She made no stumbles about her policy. She repeated or paraphrased the campaign speech she's been giving, which is very successful, especially in the seven swing states, especially in Pennsylvania. And for an example, nothing sharp here, once upon a time when she was a California senator, California Attorney General, DA of San Francisco, and then a senator from California, she was for converting the automobile and trucking fleet to all batteries all the time. In other words, either Teslas or something similar, EVs they're called, and converting the electricity grid to renewables. That would be solar and wind, and perhaps there are other examples. Nuclear is a possibility. However, now on the campaign trail, she has not reversed those opinions. You'd have to say she's erased the sharp distinctions that existed before. For example, she says she's no longer for a ban on fracking in Pennsylvania and other states. No ban leaves a lot of room to be redefined according to the costs that it would involve continuing fracking in Pennsylvania. But all of this is acceptable to the Democratic Party. So I turn to Germanicus and say, Cleopatra in the 21st century is doing very well. How do you measure her? Good day to you, Germanicus.
Good day, Gaius, or I should say good evening. The issue at stake that we have been discussing for the last couple of weeks is the issue of imperial succession, because the United States as an empire is also a polity built around the institution as well as the person of the emperor. And the issue of succession then becomes critical. If you have vested the office of president with imperial powers, but also imperial responsibility, not just for the conduct of affairs, foreign and domestic, but also for the health and equanimity of the nation itself, then the person who succeeds as emperor must have legitimacy with opponents as well as his own factions. And this is the most worrisome issue, most troubling issue in the United States today, in that succession as a transfer of legitimacy has unraveled, and it's unraveled for both parties. And for Blue, with Ms. Harris, it is not the first problem of establishing legitimacy. The same problem existed with her predecessor, her senior emperor, Mr. Biden. And in both cases, the Democrats, or I should say just Blue from now on, Blue has decided to emplace emperors who have very little legitimacy and therefore very little actual authority. And that has turned out very badly. It turned out almost disastrously with the fall of Mr. Biden. And it turned out disastrously in the sense that there is no path to legitimacy without a display of effective leadership. And in the absence of that, he had to be defenestrated. And that was, of course, the hallmark of Roman imperial succession as well. Now, Ms. Harris, in contrast to Cleopatra or Livia or Fulvia or Messalina or Agrippinilla, or all of the very powerful and effective Roman imperial women, is essentially that she is a hollow vessel or an empty vessel. And the thing that Americans most wanted and need to see is that she can be not simply an effective leader, because that is unknown until she were to gain the succession and then be inaugurated in office. What Americans need to see is that she has the qualities that they seek in an emperor. And with Ms. Harris, she is essentially an unknown in the American consciousness. And to the extent that people are politically discerning, or that they demand an emperor who can lead, they want to see that she is her own person, that she can defend and advance the things that she believes in. And all of that was absent from the interview. And for the interview to be considered a success simply because she didn't stumble or fall as her predecessor had is a sign that Blue is attempting to redefine legitimacy itself. So that legitimacy does not require any sort of cognitive or leadership capability. It simply involves presentation, however orchestrated and managed it might be. In other words, Blue is attempting to redefine the office of emperor as a mere figurehead, and thus as the representation, the face of what is in effect an oligarchic rule. And this is a risky move, and it's the only move that Blue has, given the fact that it has found itself for a second time in a position where it does not have a person who is up to the job. And in any other situation, the other party would have destroyed any hopes that Blue might prevail in this election, because were they to advance an effective leader who is part of the institutional framework of the imperial office, then they would be marching to a very strong victory. But that is not exactly the case. So you have a weak Republican leadership offer, and you have a non-existent blue leadership offer. And the way that the blue oligarchs have tried to reframe the entire process is to do so as if it were an event in which one could invest their emotion, because it is no different than a divertissement, an entertainment. And many in the electorate buy into that. And so you have the opportunity here to alter the terms of the constitutional order itself, where the president becomes no more than, say, the monarch is in the United Kingdom. And this is a very difficult position. Now, in earlier times in America, it wouldn't matter who was nominated for president because, say, in the 1870s and 80s, after Grant, that is, people voted, citizens voted for the party. They didn't really worry about whether their standard bearer was a real leader, although they wanted that, obviously. That's why they nominated Garfield and then eventually McKinley. But the fact is, it wasn't necessary. But this is not that world. And the United States is not the United States of the later 19th century. And so there is an expectation, I think, among the broad swath of the electorate, for a capable person to be inaugurated as president, and that does not now exist. So there are tremendous risks that blue runs right now, and we will not know in the course of this week or next week, but over the course of several weeks, the next 70 days, it will become clear whether or not the Democrats, blue, has been successful in reframing the terms of imperial succession.
You momentarily gave yourself away, Germanicus, when you used the modifier capable about the alternative choice. However,
yeah, Germanicus, in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah, momentarily. We're not here to praise the old Caesar. We're here to speak of the new. Right. So we're going to turn to issue that the new Caesar will inherit, certainly, which is World War Zelensky. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor, with Germanicus, Marco Vlejos, and Londinium, and returning to the European theater. There are two wars going on in Asia right now, the Middle Eastern War and the Chinese War against America and its allies. And there's one war going on in Europe, that is in Ukraine, and we're going to turn to that war because there have been events in these last days that indicate where it's going. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.